Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Oh, hello!
Hello again.
Welcome back. How we did get to be back? Was that? I'm just going to assume. How are we? Are we well?
Yay.
Are we up for a laugh?
Good.
I was not enthusiastic enough.
Yeah, all right, for sake.
They're fine.
There's been train strikes. These are the tenacious ambassadors.
All right, you guys. This is a true crime podcast with a twist.
Of lime.
Would we, could we, should we? Please welcome our fantastic guest for this episode, the second half of the fantastic musical comedians Flo and Joan. Please welcome Rosie Dempsey! Rosie!
Hey, Rosie!
Welcome!
Hello!
How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
I'm great, thank you very much for having me. Hello.
Hello.
Thank
Hello.
You for coming.
There we go, this is nice, isn't it?
Ooh. Hi. Hi, Rosie.
Solving crimes.
We got plenty more, but we have one main question. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have never been the victim of a crime, but when we were asked about thinking about what crimes you've been part of,
yeah.
I was like, I haven't been part of a crime. And then all of a sudden, there was like 100 things that came to my mind of times in my life where I have been part of a crime.
Ooh.
of a crime. No, well, not part of a crime, but I guess I've been involved. I don't know what the term is.
Wait, there's witness or there's like perpetrator.
We don't mean to be binary, but...
Well, the first one that came to my mind was when I was in reception.
All right, this is some deep shit, okay.
I was would have been 5 years old, and there was a boy in my class called Kenny, but I didn't really know him that well. You know, when you're a kid, you just lollop around and, oh, there's another child. there's another one.
That's my 20s.
So you're given the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. So there's this boy called Kenny, and then one day he gave me a ring, a really expensive ring. Well, it looked expensive, and I was like, thanks, Kenny. and I put it in my backpack, not really knowing what it was. And then his mum came into school and said, that's my engagement ring.
Oh my God.
And the teacher found it in the bottom of my bag, which had a hole in it. So it could have just fallen out at any point.
Wow.
The ring. The ring had a hole in it. And then the mum accused me of stealing the ring.
Yeah. Holy moly. And yet her son was a Lothario.
Yeah. He was a beautiful boy. The one that got away.
Oh my God. That's
what
amazing.
A shitty proposal, though. Like, make it clear, Kenny.
And also, what, like, stealing the ring, Kenny? Come on.
That's amazing.
It's quite kind sweet when you think that the boy had put two and two together and wanted to give me a gift.
Oh. Yeah.
And I was like,
joink.
I've got other things to do, Kenny.
I'll put that in my satchel with the rest of the rings I've been given today.
Yeah.
That's cool, Kenny. See ya.
Yeah. And then another one that sprung to mind.
Wait. We need closure on this one.
We do need some closure.
Oh, sorry.
On this.
Yeah.
More for you than for us. So.
Wait, were you in trouble? Or, like, how did they resolve this?
I think they found it in my bag. I remember the teacher. She's my best friend's mum. And that's not important to the story, really, is it?
It could be.
Her name is Karen.
Humble brag.
They found it in my bag and then gave it back to the mum. And I think Kenny was probably warned. But when you're that young, you can't tell a kid off because they don't know what they're doing.
No, it would be mean to, like, because they weren't necessarily trying to pull a fast one.
No, and it wasn't like, no, I'm going to get married to Kenny. You can have it back. There was nothing
that
dramatic
that
happened.
That would be brilliant if you had.
A deal's a deal.
Yeah. Me and Kenny are going to run. And we're going to run for it. Okay,
possession is 9/10 of the law.
Yeah. I didn't know
we're
what
already in Niagara Falls. We can't do anything.
Yeah.
People get married there.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, go on. Tell us your other one.
The other one that also came to mind was that someone was trying to make me think I did a crime. So I went to Isle of Wight Festival when I was 16.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
You brought up the big IOW.
Oh, yeah.
I feel responsible for my people. What's happened?
Wow, they have very strict drug dogs there.
Cute, though.
I thought they were cute. So I had gone through, I was 16, and I wasn't a crazy kid, and I went through the barriers where all the dogs and the police were. And the dogs went absolutely mad at me. And all of a sudden, these two women came, and they took me away from my group, and they dragged me like this. They made me put my thumbs like this and pulled me by my thumbs all the way to this tent.
That's actually how we say hello on the Isle of Wight. That's like you were not assaulted.
they dragged me into this big testing tent that was very dystopian, and they stripped me.
Oh my God.
They asked me loads and loads of questions, and I was not crazy. My mum gave me four 0.5% cans of lager to take to this festival. I wasn't there to do anything crazy. Oh. And all the people going through the thing behind me were like, there were so many drugs there. And they just weren't on my person.
Yeah.
But I was wearing my friend's jacket, who is the daughter of Karen, the teacher. It was my best friend's jacket.
I love this. It's like the seven, what's it called? You know when you see everybody 7 years on?
Yeah.
What the hell is that called? Sorry. But it's like that. We're getting an update on everyone's lives. I'm sorry.
Do you black out for 7 years at a time?
Sorry, do we not all do that?
Seven Up.
Seven Up. Thank you. It was a play on words.
It was a TV show, wasn't it, Seven Up? Is that what we're talking about? Yeah.
And if that doesn't make a recognition for you, Google it later. It's a show. It's real. I'm sorry, continue.
back to me and my best friend's coat. I was wearing the coat, and I remember there being something in the pocket.
Oh, no.
But it was a wrapper, and I never looked. I just put the coat on and went. And then when I was in the tent, I was like, fuck, there's something in that wrapper. My best friend does drugs, or Karen does drugs and puts them in.
Let's not discount Karen. She's got the name.
And so, yeah, they stripped me. They asked me questions. They made me squat in the corner of the tent. They made me squat and left
Holy
the thing,
shit.
And then came back in, and like they weren't going to find anything, and then gave me a form. They like wrote down a form after like staring me and making me think that I had drugs. They gave me a form to say I didn't have drugs and then let me go enjoy.
Holy shit! No, that is really fucked up.
It was fucked up knowing that there were so many people there with drugs.
Yeah.
And little old Rosie. And at the same time, we had dogs, so I was like, oh, the dogs just like the smell of my dog on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's loads of reasons dogs sniff you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, we're all thinking periods, but shut up.
My dog has known before I've known when I'm on my period. Oh. I'm just like, he will sniff your bits quite a lot.
It's quite sweet.
Yeah, it's quite sweet. It's quite nice.
Yes.
He never notices the cocaine, though. So.
Good dog.
Which is weird, because that's where you keep it.
God, though, but like, do they have to... Is there a rule?
I feel like
16 feels
like
too young to be
fucking... They've broken
the
law. If they didn't have an appropriate adult explaining what was happening, that's really bad.
The strip search and everything?
Yeah, a 16...
Also, what the hell was this about?
It was so that you couldn't throw stuff in your pockets and like, throw it out, I guess. Which I've never done.
I mean, okay. But...
No.
Yeah. And then I had to go home and be like, Mom, look, I have a form that I don't take drugs.
I mean, to be fair, that's...
Did she frame it?
She was like, you probably had drugs on you. That's why they smelt you.
That's the one good thing to come out of it. I'd be like, look, Mom, paperwork. Stop accusing me now.
Yeah, I'm the good sister.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Well, that's so messed up. I remember meeting, like, this isn't in no way a comparison at all. But I remember meeting my friend on the train... She put her cigarettes in my pocket because she didn't want her mum to find her cigarettes. And then my brother... I was 15. And my brother was 12. And he found cigarettes in my pocket. And he was just young enough that he was like, oh, my God, she's going to ruin her life. She's got cigarettes in her pocket. And he, like, really, like, confronted me. And he was like, I think I should tell mum.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay... Look, sidebar, I am smoking, but these cigarettes are not mine. A loophole. Yeah, but that's so fucked up to, like, obviously I wasn't strip searched by my brother. He didn't have the authority at all to do that. Now it's weird.
I thought I had been, like, that drugs maybe had been planted on my bag. I flew back to New York with my daughter when she was about 3, so I was just exhausted, and we get there, and... I had a bag, and like this dog just instantly went up, sniffer dog, and I was like, oh shit, you know, because you just don't know, has somebody planted something or whatever? Mm-hmm. And I was like, is this a drug sniffing dog? And this guy was like, no, this is Henry, he's a fruit dog. He's like, have you got a banana in there or something? And I was like, no, I didn't travel with any fruit. He's like, well, we'll be the judge of that. And he, like, unzipped my bag. And sure enough, there was half a banana that I forgot that my
dad. Oh, my
That's
God.
A good
They're
boy.
Much more concerned about fruit
They're
coming into the country than heroin.
That's a really big deal.
He's Henry. He's a fruit dog. I'm like... God, that's almost a kid's show. No, Henry the fruit dog. Oh my God.
Do you think they're like the ones that didn't quite, they had a, you know, they weren't good at the
Can't
dog
Can't smell
thing.
Cocaine.
Yeah.
But I smell a banana.
Because his eyes are just like going round, Oh, it's nice that they find a place sniffing grapes.
Yeah, the soft option.
Yeah.
Those desk dogs.
Yeah.
Fruit, the gateway drug. We always ask people, what would you say to the perpetrator? But I feel like the people supposedly solving the crime were the actual perpetrators, because that's so fucking traumatic for a 16-year-old. That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, if I had drugs on me, they would have done a great, great job. And, you know, they were doing what they were doing. I don't know.
Why'd you have to squat?
So in case there's any in your asshole.
But were you actually naked? Like, did they?
I pulled my trousers. My trousers and my pants were down.
They tried to make her poop out drugs.
Yeah.
I know we knew it. I'm sorry. I took us there.
I think probably it would for a woman. You probably would have put them up your.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I certainly would. You could fit many, many more. It's just stretchier. It's a fact.
You know, what's awful is what's come into my mind.
He's a fruit dog. You probably have a banana up your veg.
I didn't know what this... I knew this podcast was great and it was about solving crimes, but I never knew this, you know?
No, it's a
and
journey.
I'm happy to be here.
Okay. You look kind of braced to run, like, though.
My hand is gripping this little chair.
All right. I'm going to take
don't
it.
Don't really have a banana in my vagina.
I don't think you have a banana up your fanny, and I didn't think that before, and I don't think it now.
Good, good.
The jury's out. I'm not sure. I've known Taylor a long time, and she gets snacky, so.
All right. At the end, we will reveal the truth. So stay
tuned. Hey, guys,
tuned.
My body, my snack.
All right, are we ready for some true crime?
I think we'd better.
Are we ready for a change of topic?
Yes.
Like 5 minutes ago.
All right, you guys, I'm going to give you one spoiler. Some of this crime takes place on the Isle of Wight.
Oh! Yay. What a night for Hannah George.
It's a nice little segue.
Weird.
Okay, so let me tell you about the protagonist of this case. Edith Thompson, born in Dulston.
Ooh! That's where I live now. That's just exciting. It's okay. Going from Dulston to the Isle of Wight.
We're a little bit zeroing in on Hannah George.
Wait, what did she do?
So she is the first of five children. She was described as happy, talented.
She excelled
at dancing.
Oh.
She was academically bright.
Oh.
And she had a natural ability for arithmetic.
No.
No.
So Maths is impossible.
We've moved away from Hannah. Sorry, Hannah, I'm just going on what you've said. I'm not trying to diss you. Now, Edith leaves school and she worked as a wholesale milliner's at the Barbican. Milliners.
Milliners.
Look, okay. I don't have time to describe to you what a milliner's is. We're just going to move on.
Okay. It's when you... hat maker. Why not call it a hat
Thank
maker, you know?
Thank you, audience. It's somebody who makes stuff, e.g. hats.
Nice mill. Where did you get that from? The mill shop?
Yes. Exactly. We're all on the same page. It's fine.
A baseball mill.
She will eventually probably make baseball mill. Now,
we're in a backwards baseball mill.
She has.
It's my six snap mill. She's at that mill. Okay, who is enjoying this mill bit?
She has a reputation as a stylish and intelligent woman.
Okay.
Oh!
And we're back!
So, of course, everyone... No. Now, she gets promoted by the company several times and she becomes the chief buyer. She gets to do regular trips to Paris on behalf of her company. So we have here, guys, we have a woman... with a proper and fulfilling job. So my question to you is, what year is this?
2028.
Nice.
Well, if I could just take it back to the mill conversation for a second.
Yeah, please do.
I imagine there was a time in history where it became a hat factory and not a milliner.
Sure.
So I reckon a time in the Industrial Revolution,
okay,
which we all know was the sometime between 10,000 BC. I'm gonna guess. I reckon 1897.
Lovely.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, a big time for hats. This is the thing. When do people stop wearing hats?
They never have and they never bloody will.
Everyone tonight is wearing a hat. I can't believe it. Also now, actually, hats indoors. Prick. So, just checking. No, it's fine. Like, newborn babies or, like, a guy at the top of the circus. Who's that guy with the hat?
The ringmaster.
They're the two people indoors
who's
who are allowed to wear
hats. Who's that guy
with the hat? You know the guy with the hat? He pops to the milliners. I'm thinking it's probably going to be 1912.
Oh, my God. Hannah, you're the closest.
Yes.
With the worst answer. You've a lot of people on your list of pricks for wearing hats.
It's getting bigger and bigger, isn't it?
But yeah, 1909. Okay, so she leaves school 1911. She starts.
Oh, I was close.
You were super close.
Yes.
No, you legitimately won.
Thank you.
So we have ourselves, guys, we have an Edwardian girl boss. Thank you. So also in 1909, she meets a boy. She's 15 in 1909. She meets Percy. He's 3 years older, and they're engaged for 6 years. They finally get married in 1916.
That's too long, isn't it? 6 years, do you know what I mean? I know she's got a lot of time left because she's only 14 or something. But
15, but yes.
15, yeah, I'd be like...
It's gone off the boil.
Yeah,
it's too long to be engaged.
That's why you put the ring in the bag at the age of 5.
Yes! He was trying to lock you in. He was like, I can't let this one get away.
My wife will be a milliner and we will live forever.
Exactly. Okay, so they moved to Ilford in 1920. They have a lovely, comfortable life. Read boring. Now... In 1920, everything's great sl/ boring. Enter Frederick Bywaters.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie.
So he is 18 years old. He is, yes, you're right to gasp. Thank you, gasping audience. This is so fun. he is 8 years younger than Edith. He is a friend of her younger brother's. She's 26 at this point, and she is very attracted to him. He is handsome, and he is impulsive.
Oh, mm-hmm. Bywaters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, he is...
Oh, no. I don't know what that was.
He's in the Merchant Navy, and he has exciting travel stories.
Oh.
Now, her husband is 29, Percy. He's basically past it. He starts to seem very staid and conventional, and they're all hanging out, and Percy is absolutely oblivious to the attraction that his wife has for this new young guy.
Oh.
Question, where do they all go on holiday together?
I've worked it out. Is it the Isle of Wight?
It is! Hey! They go to Shanklin.
Oh my God, I was going to say Shanklin!
Oh.
Because it's the only other town I know other than Ventnor.
Yeah.
Is that where the pirates are? Shanklin?
I mean, every town on the Isle of Wight has a pirate.
Every town on the Isle of Wight claims pirates, but Shanklin delivers.
There's this joke that I've never understood, which is, do you like Shanklin? I don't know, I've never shankled. It doesn't really work, does it? No.
I'm not surprised that's a joke that exists on the Isle of Wight.
All right, they go to visit Edith's sister, Avis, and that is when the affair begins.
Uh-huh.
Who knew the Isle of Wight could be so romantic? Hannah did. All right, they get back. Question, what does Percy, the husband, do when they get back?
Like, everyone that ever visits the Isle of Wight says, we should move to the Isle of Wight. Because that's what people do immediately. They go on holiday and they'll be like, we should move. So I think he says, let's move, let's shankle to our heart's content.
Okay. Lovely, let's shankle.
When they get back to London, you mean, what does he do? New job that involves a lot of travel.
Okay.
Leaving Edith alone with her lover boy.
Interesting. Rosie.
Or decides to do business with lover boy to raise the stakes of what is already a thrilling story.
Ooh. You know what, Rosie, you are the closest.
Yes.
He invites Frederick to live with them as a lodger. He has no idea at this point.
He's into him
amazing.
Too.
Yeah.
No, it's not the
problem. AJ at the back, I think this could be an orgy.
It becomes like, initially you're like, oh yeah, cool. No, it becomes very clear. He has no idea.
Okay.
Eventually, Percy does start to notice that his wife is just drifting away from him.
He starts to notice that she's naked and underneath him. Yeah. Again? What?
She doesn't seem to want my dick. So I'm paraphrasing what history says.
Sure.
So a month after Frederick moves in, there is a fight in the garden. And apparently it started over something trivial, but Percy struck his wife and caused her to fall over some garden furniture. And Frederick intervenes. Yes, what a hero. And Percy orders him out of the house. And they have another tenant at this time, Mrs. Lester, and she commented on the bruises that Edith had later in statements to the police. We're going to get there.
Okay.
But, okay, just a foreshadowing.
Right. Now, who's she banging?
Well,
somebody.
I don't have the information if everyone is banging
right now.
Question, where does Frederick go? He's just been cast out. Where does he go?
Oh.
Back to the Isle of Wight from the audience.
To your mum's house.
Does he go back to the Navy? He just goes like, I don't want to see any women for a long time because she's broken my heart.
Yeah.
And I just want to see the inside of a submarine.
Excellent, excellent answer. Any advance on that?
I pictured him going to get a weapon.
Weapon from Taylor, okay. Any?
I was thinking like he goes to the gun shop, but that's because I'm American.
We have one in Newport. Yeah. There is one on the Isle of Wight.
He goes to the Newport
gun shop.
He goes to the Isle of Wight under the guise of a holiday, but really he's procuring a weapon.
Or he pops to Walmart in America.
Yes.
Rosie, you answered already.
I haven't answered, and I don't have an answer.
Okay.
That's okay. Fine.
I was trying to think of one, and I don't. I think everyone said everything. Okay. Or maybe goes to one of her goes and starts sleeping with her sister, maybe to make her jealous.
Ooh, love the EastEnders vibes drama.
Or goes to Marks and Spencer's and says, "I've got an idea for you. It's a sweet treat." Named after. Oh no, it's Frederick who goes, isn't it? Not Percy.
I'm just gonna say that it's not that. It's not that.
Okay.
I'm gonna give this point to Hannah.
Yes.
He goes to sea, literally. He's off with the Navy from September 1921 till September 1922. But Edith writes him letters the whole time.
If you're the postman, you'd be like, another fucking submarine one. It's soaking every time.
It's the worst route.
And when he gets back, they meet up again. And I can't do the maths. It's not maths business, it's show business. So on the 3rd of October 1922, Edith and Percy are coming home from the theatre. And they have gone to the theatre with her aunt and uncle at the Criterion Theatre at Piccadilly Circus, in case anybody was like, but what theatre was it? It was
the 1920s version of Mamma Mia.
Can't tell you but all I can tell you is they catch the 11:30 train to Ilford.
Does sound like a wanky play that would be on the National.
It does.
The 11:30 train to Ilford.
It's very, very emotive.
Starring Kenneth Branagh as the train.
Okay, so they're walking towards home along Belgrave Road. Question, what happens on their journey home? Yeah, I look annoyed. I didn't mean to.
What happens on their journey home?
Yeah. Very much like bird strike. It's when trains go into an aeroplane.
Are Edith and Percy alone at this point, or are the aunt and uncle still with them?
No, they've just said goodbye to the uncle.
What happens?
Frederick is stepping out of the shadows, right?
Yes, Frederick's stepping out of the shadows.
He's in the Navy, but he might be off the submarine at this point.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I reckon Frederick is right. He's right there.
I think he's there.
Percy's murdered.
Attack by Frederick.
Yeah.
You all concur?
Yeah.
Congratulations, you all get a point.
Yes, he was murdered!
Yes, a terrible thing happened.
Is that actually what happened?
Yeah, he is attacked.
Oh, shit.
So basically, a man jumps out from behind some bushes, attacks Percy, there's a violent struggle, Edith gets knocked to the ground, Percy is stabbed, he is mortally wounded, and he dies before Edith can get helped. The attacker fled. Edith was still hysterical when the police
arrived. Rhymes with Fred.
That is how you solve stuff.
That's how you solve crimes.
He fledericked.
If this was a Disney show, solved.
It's the Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Detective work.
Neighbours reported hearing a woman screaming hysterically and shouting, "Oh, don't," several times. So
it depends like what tone is. Oh, don't.
Off it.
Oh, why would you? Oh, don't.
Really,
out of order,
really, really lackluster. But she goes to the police station the next morning and she's very distressed and she gives her statement. And at this point, she doesn't know that Frederick Bywaters is already a suspect.
Ooh.
Now, he has been arrested the night of the murder and he is in custody in Ilford Police Station. And a police inspector called Frank Hall decides to lie to Edith about something. Question, what lie does he tell her?
That he has like a 50-meter swimming badge. Don't go too high with stuff. Is he trying to impress her?
Yeah.
I think it's that.
She's fit. She needs to know I'm a swimmer.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, I can two lengths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Like, and I don't stop. I do the wiggly thing at the end. Yeah. What's that, the forward roll? I tried doing that once in the swimming pool. You look like a twat. Fucking like your ass comes right out if you do it like I do it.
Can you do it?
I mean, I suppose, can I? I mean, I did it, but then I had to come up for air and stop for a bit.
So you just had a mild breakdown at the end of the...
I did, yeah.
I've never been able to do it. I always go in for a... and then... and then I never come up. Until today.
Well, thank you for being here.
It's been a pleasure.
Did the police officer tell Edith that Fred confessed to the crime?
Excellent
to try to
answer.
Trap her?
Like I was topic? Going to say the police officer has a thing with Frederick. So he didn't tell Frederick. Yeah, top it up, please. So he didn't tell Frederick. He wouldn't tell Frederick that... No,
no,
what's
it's
happening?
A lie. It's okay. the question is, what lie does this police officer tell to Edith?
The police officer knew Frederick and wanted to help him and save him.
Okay.
Does that make sense to everybody?
It absolutely does. And anyone that says it doesn't is lying.
Thank you.
Yeah, he says that Frederick Bywaters had already confessed.
Oh.
And that is a lie. So Edith admits to the police that she knows him and she gives some details of her association with him. And but not all the details. But because she's given some of the details that she knows him, she doesn't go, I'm banging him. Like
he only put it in for a minute.
Yeah. It can happen. So <It's>, that's long enough.
Yeah. But she admits that she knows him, etc. And so the police decide to investigate her further
because she's done the real crime.
So the thing is, I was just going to ask this a question. Shall I ask you the question or shall I just tell you? The question is, do you want the question?
Maybe.
That's good enough. All right, what did the police find that could incriminate Edith?
The letters.
Yes! Oh. It's the letters, you guys.
God, I should always do this sober. I'm amazing.
Yeah,
I know so much more.
Who knew that being drunk was an impairment?
Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Today's episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime is brought to you by the National Lottery.
They've tasked us with delving into a question we've all daydreamt about at one point or another. What would we do if we won the jackpot on the National Lottery?
And here with us is a special guest. He's the host of Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, and he's here fresh from stacking the dishwasher exactly the way he likes it. It's my husband, Richard Herring.
Hello.
So, Katie, last year when Richard had this conversation on his podcast, he said...
So what would you? Who would be the first person you'd tell if you won the National Lottery?
I suppose it would probably be my mum. I tell my mum everything. She's the first person I call.
I don't think I'd tell her. I wouldn't even tell my wife. Imagine winning the National Lottery. You could start your own bank accounts.
Wow, unbelievable.
I stand by it. I stand by everything I said.
Katie, how do you respond? Would you tell Richard if you won the National Lottery?
See, I put it to you this. Challenge accepted, because I propose we play a game. How long would it take me to spot that we've won the lottery? How many gold shoes would Rich have to have lying around the house before I'm like, hey, what's up?
Well, how long did it take for you to notice that I'd lost one of my testicles, Katie? A long time. It was a couple of years before you said, didn't they used to be two? So I think I'll get away with it. Given one of the first things I would do is build an extension on the house and have a hygienist in there who works for me every day cleaning my teeth, you might notice quite quickly. That's what I'm going to do with the money.
I'm glad you said teeth, actually. I was thinking, what to see what we've gone straight from his bollocks to a hygienist. I didn't know you could have testicle hygienist.
You hate going to the hygienist. Why do you want a permanent hygienist?
Exactly, because then I won't have the horrible thing where they have to carve plaque off your teeth every six months. They would do it every day.
When my husband went to the dentist last, apparently the dentist he opened his mouth and she just went, small teeth.
And oh my gosh.
I know. What a thing to say to somebody.
Although when your gynecologist says that, you're like, whoo, thanks.
You could pay for him to have big teeth put in, Hannah. You could get that. You could have massive rabbit teeth.
Yeah, I've got a kind of Ken Dodd thing, sort of like, I'm interested. get him a tickle stick. I think we're going to. All right.
What would you guys get? What were your first purchases?
Oh wow, first purchases, lobster, just for myself, just a big lobster for myself.
And can I say that I would buy a ticket to watch Taylor eat a lobster?
It's quite a spectacle. She's seen it before.
What about you guys? Is there any case that you would like to investigate with millions of pounds behind you?
Oh, I really liked, we did this case called The Somerton Man, which was about a guy that was found, it was like in the 40s, he was just found on a beach in Australia, and they never worked out who they were. They say they've worked it out now, but I only ever read headlines, I never actually read any articles, so I don't know if they've actually found it out. But I would go into, I would put the money into finding out who he was.
I don't want to take things, you know, too lowbrow, but what if we were to be very, very petty with our newfound riches, if we won the jackpot on the national lottery, what would you do to mess with your nemesis or foes? If you don't have a nemesis, surely we all have at least one foe.
Yeah, I think I'd pay every restaurant in the country to bar the off menu guys so they couldn't ever eat anyway.
That's very good.
Except Texas Fried Chicken in Shepherd's Bush. They could go in there. That's the only place that I'm not going to bar them from.
For Katie and Rich, with the 25th of December just around the corner, what would you guys get each other for Christmas if money wasn't an issue? I don't think money's the problem here, is it?
God, we'd have to get to know each other better. God, we. Oh, I guess...
It'd be nice to go away. It'd be nice to take the kids to, like, see Santa Claus and the North Pole.
I do want to go to Lapland. Actually, there's loads of places I want to go.
So it'd be nice to do something. If you had Disneyland, the unlimited amounts of money, you know, I think anything that gets us away from Katie's family would be a wonderful would be a wonderful Christmas present for me.
Oh, my God.
They don't listen to this, what? Right?
Oh, dear. I was thinking Lapland as well. I've always wanted to go and do the super snowy Christmassy thing. So, yeah. Oh, no, I got all earnest there. That was awful.
This is what I would get for the rest of the drunk women. A never-ending bottle of Carvo. It just keeps refilling. Like, I'll use the lottery millions to do the science to just keep refilling. There'll be some scientific reason why it works, right? You know, like the Norse god Thor, when he had drank from the horn and it never ended because it was secretly connected to the ocean. It will be like that, but with Carvo. Or champagne.
Yeah.
I've got the money now.
It's good that it was Carver was the first launch. Rather than, like, yeah, just, you know, the one that we get for 5 quid.
We've got never-ending 5 quid drinks.
So, just like any of us, when it comes to the national lottery, it could be you. If you were to play tonight, where would you keep your ticket whilst you wait to find out if your numbers come up? Do you have a safekeeping spot?
We have, like, we call it our Jason Bourne box, which is just a really sexy way of saying the box we keep our passports in. So I'd keep it in the Jason Bourne box.
I think, you know, it's a game of chance and I think you have to increase the peril. So I keep my lottery ticket over an open flame that it's just high enough. But just so that it could, just if the wind blew, it could just burn up and I could lose everything. So I'd just like the extra. I could win, but also I could lose everything. And it makes it much more exciting for me as a fun thing to do.
Wait, so your safekeeping space is an elaborate James Bond-style ruse that's going to end terribly. I'm going to keep mine dipped in some flame-proof materials.
You'd so best.
When Rich puts it on the flame, we're still fine.
Yeah. I would keep it in Toby's mouth because there's so much room with those tiny teeth.
Well, thanks to the National Lottery for allowing us to live out a life full of newfound riches and find out a little bit more about each other.
I know my next move is to get a ticket in store or via the app, punch in my lucky numbers, and make all of this a reality.
So remember, the National Lottery, it's where your numbers make amazing happen. Whether that's a big jackpot win or helping the National Lottery good causes across the country continue with the amazing work they do.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, so yeah, they find 60 letters from Edith.
60?
60. She wrote this dude a lot. He was away for a year, but it's a fuck ton of letters.
When was she finding time to make hats?
60 is also a lot for... I had a friend whose husband was on a submarine, and they would only give them their letters, like, occasionally.
Yeah.
So they'd, like, gather them up and then give them. So she must have sent, you know... lots and they not got there and they just came all at once.
I think I do. That must have happened.
I mean, I did add that it was a submarine. I'm not entirely convinced.
You know, I do. So it's the merchant.
You
Navy.
Do know that he doesn't have a swimming badge as well. Like, this is just. Oh. Yeah.
What a terrible turn of events. This makes me even more confused than I already am.
I have never been to the Isle of Wight. Like, this is all bullshit.
This is horrible. Yeah. This is a fever dream.
We're just really fucking with you. No. No, so he is in the Merchant Navy. I'm presuming it's ships in the 1920s more than submarines. Sure. Yeah, sure. Thank you. The 60 letters that she wrote him. Was that sure, like, sure, I agree, or sure, he was unsure? Doesn't matter now. Okay, look, we have a trial. These letters are the only tangible evidence linking Edith to the killer. These letters are used as evidence, all 55,000 words of them, and they date from September 1921 to September 1922.
That's so many words.
And they're largely a day-to-day account of her life while Frederick Bywaters is at sea.
Is Bywaters, I suppose.
Hey. It's a lot of fun. Question... Questioned, what kinds of things do these letters say? Go nuts. What could they possibly say? I mean, go small. You don't have to go nuts.
I hope you're having a lovely time on that submarine. I hope the boys are playing games with you. And you're having sandwiches.
That's nice.
Me, I'm here in my garden. Having a sandwich.
They were big on sandwiches.
You loved sandwiches.
You're absolutely in the right place.
Thank you.
Anything to add, you guys?
Were they all like folded into a little hat? I don't know
the
why.
Sailor hat.
Yeah, this right. Woman is obsessed with hats.
We've got sandwiches, we've got folding. Taylor Glenn.
I got nothing.
But right. Just like, are they sort of... Are
sexy
they,
stuff?
Yeah, Rudy, are they kind of...
Oh, all sorts, you guys.
In a romantic way.
This is a huge question of... There were 55,000 words.
Uh-huh.
What you possibly might those words have been? That was the question.
Miss.
So, essentially,
love.
No wrong answers. Okay, they said lots of incriminating things.
Oh.
Including, but not limited to...
Dick.
There was a few passages... Genuinely,
he's not even 18 anymore.
That should have been your answer.
Really? Are they really racy?
Yes.
That's taking a huge chance, delivering a letter to
a chick. She doesn't think that they're going to be read in a court of law when her husband's been killed. So,
yeah.
There's a few passages about longing to be free of her husband, Percy.
Uh-oh.
In one, she talks about grinding glass light bulbs to shards and then feeding them to Percy mixed into mashed potato.
Bodger loves. Just another 90s TV reference for you.
In another one, she talks about feeding him poison. She wrote about a woman she knew who had lost three husbands, and she remarks in this letter, I can't even lose one.
Oh, you...
She's drama.
Dum-dum, Edith.
It is drama. Right, drama is... I'm very intrigued.
He should have killed her. Boring. Get her out.
Because
okay, not a fan.
This no, but this is the whole thing. Like, so also, this I was going to say this later. I'm going to say it now to defend this lady. She's been trying to get a divorce for 5 years.
Okay.
Oh. But it's the 1920s and it's not super easy to do. Mm. So she also described how she had carried out her own abortion after becoming pregnant by Bywaters. That's the Frederick sexy guy. The prosecution are saying that these letters are evidence of incitement to murder. But Edith is saying she knows nothing about any attempt to murder. She knew nothing about this. She was just writing letters that she thought were funny or whatever.
Especially that abortion one. Oh, man.
And then I'll get the mash.
If we can't laugh at abortion, what can we laugh at? But there was nothing linking her. They couldn't prove that she was present at this murder. So obviously it goes to court. Somebody says, her counsel, somebody, some lawyer guy says to her, the burden of proof was the prosecution and that there was nothing they could prove, so she shouldn't testify. Question, how does Edith react to the advice that she shouldn't testify?
Oh no, Edith.
Yeah.
Oh. She does like a 55,000 word testification or whatever it's called. I feel like she can't keep things short either. Yeah. It's just so interesting because I've always thought, like, if I was innocent of a crime, I've always thought I would, of course I'd take the stand because they'd be like, well, she's adorable. But also, like, you know, you'd think if you're innocent, you would be able to, but I've watched so much true crime stuff where people take the stand and the lawyers go, this is the worst thing they could possibly have done. And I think that she insists. But it makes me think she's innocent, but it makes me think that she goes down for it.
Yeah? Excellent instincts. I don't want to comment either way.
That's very unfair.
It is very unfair. So she ignores the advice to not testify. She's got it into her head that she can somehow save Frederick from being hanged. Mm-hmm. Not hung. I learned, but then I will still say hung in a minute. And she's determined to give evidence. And it was later said of her that she had no idea the danger that she was in. Because she's lived a lovely life. People have respected her up until now. So Edith takes a stand and she says that she'd never attempted to poison her husband and that her letters were just showing off and trying to impress her lover. But she contradicted herself and the judge and the jury are not impressed with her. And in answer to questions about the meaning of some of the passages, she said, I have no idea. Not helpful. Oh, question. What is Bywater's defense story?
So it was definitely him that did it. They have him at the scene. They apprehended him.
He's definitely the perpetrator. What's his defense?
That maybe
she made him do it. She coaxed him into it.
Interesting. She made him do it. Love it. Mean. You guys.
Yes. Or the Nobby. What's he called? Percy. Thank you.
Oh. Nobby.
Nobby.
Yeah. Nobby pigs. You wouldn't eat those, would you? if said that Percy was attacking her. So it was in the self-defense or lady defense.
Yes. Yes.
Because he has previous, right? He's already punched her in the garden or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And we've got another... punched her in the garden or whatever. It's another National Theatre play.
For the millennials.
Yeah.
Starring Kenneth Branagh as Garden.
Yeah. He's very good in it. So maybe it's that.
Did you answer?
Nah, I get nothing.
Okay. So his defense story is accidental death, but you've touched on some of the correct stuff, you guys, because he's been cooperating fully. He's shown the police the murder weapon. He's not tried to hide anything, but he's consistently maintained that he acted completely alone and that Edith had no idea that he was planning this.
Accidental death, like in the Con Air sense, like he didn't realize his strength. Is that what he means?
Actually, yes.
He was trying to defend her, but didn't mean to kill.
Allow me to... Yes, but let me elaborate.
Okay.
He hadn't intended to kill Percy. Uh-huh. He had wanted to confront him and force him to deal with the situation. Because the situation is, she's been trying to divorce him for 5 years.
Yeah. And a great way to do that is stabbing.
Exactly. Oh, my God. So, anyway, but Percy had then threatened to shoot him. And then they'd all lost their tempers and things got out of hand, and then the stabbing had happened. Huh. But Edith had never told him to kill her husband, and he had never believed that Edith wanted to hurt her husband.
Okay.
And then he... Okay. I've got a big red clock, but I didn't turn it, to turn it on. I plane settings. Didn't... I didn't do iPlane settings. We're all very familiar with that. So there's all, like, he's saying all this stuff, like, oh, then she's writing novels because she wrote all these letters because she liked novels. She, you know,
we can't move on from iPlane. We really can't.
I just said I could smooth it over, but no. Okay. Come on, then. Let me have it. We are done. All right, so, question. What is the verdict of the trial? Both of them, one of them, none of them. Who goes down?
I like to think neither of them. Just because I like to think that, and that would be nice, wouldn't
Hannah
it?
Hannah the optimist.
Yeah.
Who,
yeah.
Side note, sometimes gets accused of being naive.
I think both of them will have, but I don't think Edith should have. I think she was painted into a corner.
Nice.
Was angry and had every right to be angry. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's true love, isn't it? It's a lovely passion. I mean, it's not lovely. Someone died. But it's a lovely show of romance.
It is.
It's the most powerful thing you can really do is kill someone for your lover.
It's kind
and isn't that what we all want? Is that what we...
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that not on Tinder as a tick?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I won't do that.
Would you kill for me?
Oh, boy. I think they probably both get sentenced.
Okay.
But I don't know who gets it. Like, surely... his sentence should be worse and hers should be a little slap on the wrist for inciting murder.
Congratulations for your answers. And the correct answer is they're both found guilty.
Oh.
On the 11th of December, they're both sentenced to death by hanging.
Oh, shit, man.
Yes. And further to your horror, Edith became hysterical and started screaming in the court. And Frederick loudly protested Edith's innocence, stating, "I say the verdict of the jury is wrong. Edith Thompson is not guilty." This is very traumatic. But I will quickly tell you this. We have to talk about the newspapers for a second, because this is almost the birth of sensationalist, hysterical reporting. So, like, fun fact, these guys are almost, like, patient zero for what is now acceptable coverage. And everyone's just trying to shift newspapers. But basically, everybody absolutely hates these two until they are sentenced, and then everyone fucking loves them. So there is a dramatic shift in public attitudes and media, and nearly a million people sign a petition against the death sentence. Question, how do you think each of them is portrayed in the media in the early 1920s? Do you think one of them comes off better? Like, any...
Edith was blamed.
Edith was blamed, yeah.
Yeah, slut-shamed.
Slut-shamed.
Yeah, letter-shamed, I think. They probably did one of those, what is it, when they do a little bit of a book every day in a newspaper, did they do that, but with her letters, and it went on for like 2 years, and people were just like, oh my God, we want the page 3 models back. Like, I don't know why they swapped it out with that, but...
Yeah. They swapped models for true crime.
Yeah, and of course page 3 in those days would just be a fully dressed woman. Maybe like...
You guys are 100% on the money. Yeah, everyone hates her the most. They think that Frederick Bywaters is great because of his fierce loyalty to her, even though all of his actions have caused this in the fucking first place. But they love the protectiveness of him towards her. She's regarded as the controlling mind that set it all up. Mm. So basically, like Amanda Knox, or like, remember when everyone blamed Jada for Will Smith punching? Like, it's like, I don't know, is it like that? Is it? But it is still considered abhorrent to hang women. The last one before this was in 1907. So we have this petition and we have a new confession from Bywaters declaring that Edith is completely innocent. And then we have some guy put in charge of the whole thing. And the guy that's put in charge of the whole thing is Secretary William Bridgeman. And it's down to him. Will he?
There's a Bywater and a Bridgeman.
It's so poetic. I didn't realise this case. He has the job of whether he will grant a reprieve for Edith. Question, does he grant a reprieve for Edith?
Yes.
Yes from Taylor. No from the audience.
He's a progressive Bridgeman. The way he's talked about him. Sorry.
His job is to build... Bridges.
I mean, he's some lawyer guy. He just has that in his surname.
I reckon he didn't. I reckon he doubled down and made it worse.
Doubled down and made it worse. Excellent answer.
I think he lets her off just because it's the guy, Frederick, has said that she's innocent. And I feel like he'll go, is that letter from a chap? I think I'll believe that. Yeah. So it's kind of like...
You got to believe a guy, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing by the fact that no one has learnt from this story up until now, he probably didn't change it for good. Otherwise... yes. Otherwise, we would have all... okay.
Excellent answers. He does not grant Edith a reprieve. Edith gets told the date of her execution and she lost her composure and, which, what a loser, she lost her composure.
Keep it together, bitch.
Yeah, she spent the last few days of, oh, this is
try
really,
to enjoy
this
it.
Is really, really horrible.
Okay, great.
She was in a state of near hysteria, crying, screaming, moaning, unable to eat. They had to, what's the word? Basically drug her. Sedate her so that they could get her to the hangman's noose. Like, there's lots of offshoot stories about this. So the guy that had to hang her, it like really profoundly affected him.
But like, oh, that poor guy.
But like,
is he all right? Oh no, that's upset me now. But like, I was enjoying this. Oh.
But basically, everyone hated this. Like, it was absolutely awful. And they were both killed simultaneously. So she was killed in the women's prison. He was killed in the Pentonville men's prison at 9 a.m. But there have been fuckloads of critics of this over the years and at the time that she was basically innocent and she'd be trying to get this divorce for 5 years. They'd been really selective with the letters. To do prejudice, and they'd actually admitted loads of letters that talked about menstruation because that was taboo, and like orgasms, that was taboo. They couldn't mention that in court. There's like all this, like it was insane, like all this stuff, and the judge had been super prejudiced against her. He'd told the jury to like disregard everything she said, and also the judge was the worst guy. So it was the 1920s and they had a jury and they had one woman on the jury and the judge addressed the jury as gentleman. So everyone's like, well, he wasn't a very good feminist. And then the reason I'm talking about this is because it is this landmark case in terms of nonsense and madness of like... Of all this, but this stuff. So basically, she was allowed to get moved.
Let's go back to the bit where you said iPlane. That was more fun, wasn't it? That's really fun.
I'll make another joke about my phone in 1 second. But basically, in the 1970s, they were allowed to move her. Her sister was allowed to move her. And they made this new gravestone in 1993. And it said, sleep on beloved, her death was a legal formality.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's the bit that I wanted to get to.
Wow.
It's dark as fuck, but can we please raise a glass to Edith Thompson?
Cheers. And to that poor guy that hung her.
Yeah.
Let's hear it for him.
That's mad.
So, my phone. Oh, my God.
I play.
What am I like?
It's crazy that we don't know that, like, I feel like that's a story that should pass through cultures of, oh, this is an original version of a media kind of thing. But
yeah.
Why has that not travelled?
Also, how long was the death penalty in force here? Like,
oh, it's like the 50s, wasn't it?
No, like 60, was it?
60s.
We've probably talked about this. The last man was hung in the 60s. And then I think the last woman was...
Hey-o! Yeah, that's crazy. Because I just always picture it being banned here so much earlier.
Yeah.
But, wow.
Because we're so sophisticated.
Has anyone got a really light-hearted listener crime? Anyone, just another orgy one or something?
Are you raising? Oh. Are you scratching or are you raising your arm?
We've got a raised arm here as well.
That was a scratch.
There's a hand here.
Scratching?
It's not very high, but it's there.
Hey.
Come on out.
So this may or may not be a crime, but it's...
What's your name, please?
Oh, Sarah, hi.
Thank you. Now we'll accept your story.
It's a possible money laundering whodunit, and I still don't have an answer for it. A few years ago before the pandemic, I started receiving letters to my parents' address with money in them. Brag.
What, cash money?
Actual money, just cash.
Whoa.
With no note, nothing.
You're not supposed to do that.
No, and it's really, really strange. And I did start to wonder whether it was one of those things where, you know, people put money in your bank account and then try to claim it back from you, but nobody ever tried to claim it back, so that was lovely. But it was really weird, because there was nothing on the envelope other than my address. It was typed envelope, so like gone through a business office or something.
This is creepy as hell.
No notes on the inside, and every time we got a letter, because there were like 10 or 11 of them, over every couple of months, there would be a weird mistake on the envelope. So one time my name was spelt wrong, one time the postcode was wrong and they'd written it in handwriting. And weirdly, the last one we ever received was during the pandemic, and it had a note on the inside that said, hope you have a wonderful Easter, but in French.
Oh my God.
I think we all know what's going on here, don't we?
How much money are we talking?
They were random as well. Like it was 20, 20, 40, 20, and it was all cash. And my mum kept ringing me up and going, I've got another one. Can I open it? it was strange. I've got a couple of possibles, because they were all post-stamped from Birmingham. Now, I have a very great uncle he is great, but he's also a great uncle.
A marvellous man.
He's very elderly. And I did ask him if it was him, because he was Solihull. And he said, no, it couldn't work it out. I also did a job that I never got paid for, which is also a crime, doing a citywide interactive zombie experience in Birmingham that they hired a bunch of people for that they then never paid, even though they were going insolvent.
Ooh.
And I wondered maybe whether someone nice in the office was just trying to be like...
if you do an insane job, you should be paid in an insane way.
It was bad. I spent a whole night at the top of a multi-story with lots of people dressed as zombies.
Then you deserve this. You deserve this as it come to you.
I really did. I did wonder whether it was a money laundering thing, or I was working before that with a very, very lovely actor who's crime-related, who was very nice.
Wait, that could be Kevin Spacey, or it could be John Thor. Like, we need to know. You don't have to tell us. But.
A fictional crime, as in Little Grey Cells. But, like... And I did wonder whether maybe he was trying to do a nice thing, but then the French threw me, and I still don't know. So who did it?
Yeah, this is an intriguing case.
We need to get to the bottom of this one.
That's proper creepy.
For a start, I love that it's creepy, but also your mum's like, we got another! I know.
Yeah, were you scared at any point?
I mean, the money kept coming. It was nice.
Who's going to be scared with all that cash?
A couple came during the pandemic and, you know, working in theatre, we'd lost all the work. I was like, great, this is it. This is all that's coming in. So I was quite grateful, but so still have not a clue about any of it.
I wonder if it's a mega fan.
Of who? Of me?
Of you. Like, somebody was like, oh, we got to keep the arts alive. I need to send this lady money.
So... bizarre, all the like mistakes on the envelope, and they were all, I mean, I've never seen a tight envelope that hasn't come from like a bank, and just strange. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's
really no, weird. I'm not saying it's not creepy.
Have you got any connection to France at all?
No.
Had you travelled there, met anyone there?
Not Does really. Your uncle have
not
any
really?
Connections?
Not really?
I think I did a day trip to Calais in year 7.
Okay, here we go. All right.
No, uncle has no... connection. If we can't solve this, I've got a story that is solved about a hit and run and the Taliban, but...
I said lighthearted, let's do it.
The other one I was going to say is I got hit by a car once, and the guy... They did find the guy, because there was a me-shaped a dent in his car. But when they dragged him up to court, he tried to, didn't have a lawyer, represented himself.
Oh, yeah.
Very silly. Tried to,
very silly.
Tried to claim that he needed, they couldn't take his license away because he couldn't go back home because the Taliban were after him. And the jury were like, okay. And he said he hadn't been back to his country for 10 years. And they went, okay, and you've got 3 kids, right? How old are they? Yeah, yeah, haven't been back for 10 years. Oh, but my kids are 7, 5, and 2. And they were like, either your wife has something to tell you or you have been home. But slightly more, like, he lost his license. But wow. So that was resolved. But yes.
Could it be sympathy money? He's the one sending you the money as like, oh, I never...
Well, I don't think he was that sympathetic.
Also, you never know when a conscience will kick in.
Yeah. Or an interest in French, you know?
That's absolutely
insane.
You've got
the prize.
Oh, and one pregnant woman giving another pregnant woman a bottle of Carver feels a bit weird. There you go. Congratulations. Thank you.
We sold it!
Oh, wow.
That is one of the most intriguing stories.
I mean, my money
really
is maybe...
I really do want to
sell
it.
How old is the uncle? I kind of feel like my money's on the uncle a little bit. Like,
he's only just learnt to email, though,
so... he knows what post is.
Like, a £20 drop is a very much a grandparent
isn't
kind
it?
Of drop, isn't
yeah.
it? Have some, help yourself to some sweets.
Yeah,
go
do you
down
think he's trying
fair.
To circumvent the parents? Like, I want to give this guy my inheritance. I don't want anyone interfering.
Yeah, it's an inheritance tax dodge. £20 at a time.
Yeah. I like that you think it could be money laundering. Someone who's very scared that someone will catch out their £120.
Yeah. I think it's making him feel alive. He's withdrawing his cheque. He's going, I'm putting 20 quid to her right now.
I might do that. Like, when if I'm like elderly and I've got like loads of surplus cash, I might just get loads of like weird cards and make up some or find some addresses and just send it to people and fuck with them. Because you seem to like it. Your mum liked it. It's given us a story. Nobody gets hurt.
It's a bit of fun.
It's like a lovely hobby. I'm not going to take up cross stitch.
I don't want to brag, but I think we solved that.
Yeah, nice.
All right, we have just enough time. Rosie Dempsey, please tell us what you're up to. Where can we find you? What do you want to plug?
As Nicola so gracefully said, we are. You can find us anywhere at Flo and Joan. At Flo and Joan is there. Yes. Thank you, everybody.
Hooray! Please give it up for Flo and Joan. Thank you so much for coming out and supporting live comedy during a train strike. You guys are legends. Give yourself
Yay,
a round of applause.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.